Skyline's new chicken chili is here. Now you can enjoy that legendary Skyline taste with a new protein option. Try Skyline's chicken chili on Waze, Coney's, and all your Skyline favorites. Feeling good? It's Skyline time.
Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Welcome to another episode of the Bamature Hour. On this episode, I've got Dr. T and I've got G Money joining me, and they're going to be chiming in here in a minute. Today, we're going to do our Bama FSU game week preview and predictions. There's a lot going on, a lot of moving parts. The weather looks like it's not going to be hot and humid. We'll talk about that in a minute. Quick note, we now have over 3,500 subscribers to our YouTube channel. We thank each and every one of you who are subscribing. If you're listening and haven't subscribed, please subscribe, hit the notify bell. And for those of you who are accessing our content on other platforms such as Spotify, iHeart, Apple, RSS, and the like, we thank you for listening. Guys, it is game week. It is Wednesday, August 27, 2025, in the year of our Lord, and we are ready to roll. Let's jump in here and let's talk some football. Dr. T, how are you this evening?
I'm great, John, Gary. I'm doing great. I played some pickleball tonight and feeling loose, feeling ready.
All right, G Money, otherwise known as Gary, how are you this evening?
I'm doing fantastic. Long day of work, but I wish I had a machine that I could snap my fingers and it'd be Saturday at 2:30.
Come on, guys, we need the buildup. We need a little bit of time to get this episode out there and build the hype. So can't come too fast. It is going to be a great day on Saturday. Hey, guys, I've got some news for everybody out there. Tomorrow night, I'm going to do an episode recording with Clay Hall. Clay Hall is sports director for the Fox station in Columbus, Ohio. He is an Ohio State insider. He's the director of the sports up there. He's been on the Ohio State broadcast. And tomorrow night, I'm going to get to interview him and get a preview of Texas Ohio State. It's going to be really, really fun. So any of you who want to get a little inside knowledge from Columbus, and then we're also going to talk a little Bama, Ohio State, previous championship games and playoff games. Obviously, they won one. We won one. They've got two natties. They're the defending national championship. So I'm excited about that. Just a little bit of news. I wanted to share that with you guys. Now let's jump into this thing. There are some news and notes that we've got to share with everybody. Injury report. There is a late an injury thing that came out that really stinks for if you're a Bama fan. I'm going to put it up there. Tim Keenan, he had to have surgery today. He had to have tightrope surgery on his ankle. We can let Dr. T discuss that a little bit more. That means Tim Keenan is out. That's a blow. We'll talk about that more. I think that the redshirt freshman Jeremiah Beeman's likely to get the start in his place. Jaden Roberts still out dealing with the concussions. He's not going to play. Jam Miller's out. All right, that's the news and notes that I wanted to jump into first. Dr. T, tell us a little bit about that tightrope surgery, what that means, what's going on there since you're our resident. He actually is a doctor, ladies and gentlemen who are listening. We actually do have a medical doctor on that. We have an attorney and a doctor on staff. We are well taken care of by my esteemed colleagues. So, all right, Rick, fire away.
So what I know about tightrope is basically with a severe high ankle sprain or sprain, They have found this new procedure. I guess it's probably 15 years old. I don't know, but that's relatively new in the medical world. But it's where they take the tibia and fibula and basically drill a hole through both bones and put a apparatus, some type of, I'm not sure what it is. I've never done one or seen one live, but I've just read about it on the internet, like y'all have. But basically, you accelerate healing by joint by bringing all the tissue together, tightening it up, and it's called a tight rope because they have like a some type of maybe titanium rope through there. I'm not sure what the material is, but something that actually they can bind and pull both bones together, and it accelerates healing probably by 6 weeks or so. So I think Tim will probably be back around week 5 or 6, and hopefully back to full force.
All right, thoughts about that? Dr. T and then Gary. Jump in there, Dr. T, about Keenan being out.
So I think that's the one area on our team that I was most concerned about coming into the season was the defensive line. And he's kind of the anchor there, and that hurts. I think that's the one position group we probably least wanted to lose somebody this early in the season. But I do think if we have to lose him at any point in the season, this is the time, because I just think with Florida State and Louisiana Monroe and Wisconsin that we can weather the storm without him, so to speak. And I think hopefully by Georgia, which is technically week 5 for us, that he can be back and ready to go and contribute.
All right, Gary, comments.
I mean, it's a disappointment. It's hard to replace a dog, and he's a dog. You need two gap covers, and Tim Keenan's your man. And this will give a lot of opportunity to Jeremiah Beeman and some other players as well. And of course, you're always excited to see people like that get an opportunity to emerge. But let's not sugarcoat this. Losing Tim is it's a blow.
It is a blow. Next man up. Some guys are going to have to step up and they're going to have to bring it and they're going to have to be fired up and they're going to have to knock some people around and collapse that line. So we're going to find out a lot about that depth of that D line, which we've all talked about in previous episodes. It's a concern and we're going to find out. We'll definitely got to keep Tim Keenan in our prayers, those doctors in our prayers, quick healing, get back. But man, that was a tough blow. Jaden Roberts being out, we've prepared for that. I think it's a little bit of a blow as well. Jam Miller we've talked about, but man, that was tough when I found out about that today. So, ugh, 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 ugh. All right, let's go on to the next item. Couple of more news and notes. Weather forecast, rain and thunderstorms, highs in the 80s. So it's going to be humid, but it's not going to be blazing hot. But it could be similar to that game against Michigan down in Tampa. Could be a mud bowl, could be wet, rainy. Going to be interesting. So we'll talk about that. Dejon Lee's been named a starter. I don't know whether that means he's going to start true corner or that they consider him one of the three corners coming in. I've heard Xavien Brown may start at Husky and James Smith's supposed to play. So those are the other news and notes I had before we jump into the breakdown. All right, Gary, give me your thoughts there on those items.
Well, Dejon Lee, 5-star coming out, and just created a lot of buzz in fall camp, and not a shocker there. I think it's exciting that he's getting an opportunity to showcase in a big game in a prime time afternoon ABC game. So he'll still be part of a rotation. I mean, he'll start, but they'll cycle people in and out a little bit. I mean, depending on the game situation, of course. But pretty excited about that. Ready to see him shine.
Thoughts about the weather?
I think we're going to be a little more even pass heavy this year than we were last year. So you would say, well, the rain that could affect you negatively, but I mean, if we and we're going to talk about it a little while, but if you look at who's running FSU's offense, they're having to throw the ball too. So let's just call it sort of a push in terms of how it affects the teams, and I think the better team's still going to win this game.
All right, Rick, jump in there. Weather, Dejon Lee, James Smith, thoughts?
Yeah, I don't think I'm like G Money. I think the weather doesn't really, both teams have to play in this weather, and I think, like you said, the more talented team will win. And then as far as Bijan Lee, yeah, I heard y'all probably heard the same thing, but I heard Coach DeBoer from Monday's press conference. He just said that everything they throw at him, he can handle. He just seems to absorb things very quickly and doesn't really seem like a freshman in the way he handles information. So yeah, I'm excited to see a 6-foot-4 corner. It's gonna be pretty neat to see. I think he's gonna be hard to throw over, and he apparently, even though he's 6'4", he is very quick. So kind of a freak of nature, it sounds like.
I think the one thing I'm thinking is ball security. If we get that rain, we're going to find out how much improved is this running game? Can our line move those guys? And they've got a dude in the middle that's huge. What is he? 6'7", 340? Darryl Jackson Jr. Let's hope he gets tired, and let's hope they don't have the depth, because that guy's a monster. And Brailsford's going to have his hands full with that, but we're going to find out how well we can run block and move the ball, how patient we are, and ball security. Clearly, that was not Milroe's strength, ball security and limiting turnovers. So it could be a real challenge, but hey, if they got to play in it too, they got to deal with it. We got to go down there and take care of business. And we're going to break down the offensive line in a little bit. All right, let's jump into some players on this FSU preview. Got a few guys I want to throw up on the screen. Number one is Tommy Castellanos, transfer from Boston College. He's the dual threat quarterback. He's the kind of guy that Gus Malzahn likes at quarterback. We'll see. We'll talk more about that. They got two good receivers, Deuce Robinson, Squirrel White. We've seen Squirrel White before on a different team. Roy Dell Williams, that's a familiar name. Gavin Sawchuk is supposed to be a good running back they brought in from Oklahoma. And everything I've read, Cam Davis is good. So they got running backs. We'll talk about our running backs versus theirs. And their offensive line, four new starters coming from the portal. They've got experienced guys. They've got guys who are, third year, fourth year, fifth year guys. But how good are they if they're transferring in? I would think where they were coming from, unless they were that just great and got paid a ton of money. But you can't buy five guys on your O line. So some of those guys are going to be mediocre, not great. On defense, you've got James Williams coming over from Nebraska. You got some linebackers that are getting some hype. Then there's the big guy in the middle, Darryl Jackson Jr. And then on the defensive back, Earl Little Jr., who, if I'm not mistaken, was on Alabama's roster at one point. And then you got Jeremiah Wilson. So that's just a player preview of some guys that I wanted to note. I want to get your guys' take on it. G Money, go through it. Let's talk about the FSU roster and thoughts.
I mean, I think Castellanos is dangerous. I mean, he threw 18 touchdowns last year, only five picks. And, as you already said, Bama John, I could see him doing really well in Gus Malzahn's system. We didn't really talk about Gus yet, but I mean, you got to remember, this is the coach that beat a number one Alabama and a number one Georgia and in a three-game stretch. Back in 2017, just at times explosive. And when he has a mobile quarterback, he can really, really scheme around that. The offensive line is interesting. So, you've got that chemistry question, but like you said, you got some really veteran players. I think there are 105 starts among the four starting transfers. That's a lot of games. That's a lot of game experience. But the offensive line, you really have to have communication, So, I mean, I think we're gonna test them early here and see how those communication skills and how they're gelling on offensive line. It'll be interesting to see. You mentioned the big guy in the middle. You would think he would be on a Georgia roster, but there he is in Tallahassee. They've got good players. I mean, we can't take that away from them. You can look at ranking services and analysts. They've got some really good players. But we've got better players.
All right, Dr. T, jump in. Let's talk about some of this roster FSU as we think about what we've got to face when we line up on offense, defense.
Well, the first thing you mentioned, the first player you mentioned was their quarterback, Tommy Castellanos. And he did talk a lot this offseason, I believe. And so I don't think that's going to help him much when it comes to protection this weekend. I think Tim Keenan was the one that said, we'll handle the disrespect on the field or something like that. So he won't be there, but he'll be hopefully helping the rest of the guys enforce what he was saying. But I looked at his QBR last year just out of curiosity, and last year he had 1,300 yards and 18 touchdowns and five interceptions, but he ranked 112th in the country in QBR. So I don't know much about him. Y'all might know a lot more, but based on his ranking there, I don't think he's like a huge threat. I'm sure he's decent, but I think our defense is built for this. I mean, I really do. I like us there. They do have that big guy in the middle you mentioned, but I think even though Brailsford is 290, a little bit undersized, I think he plays a lot bigger, and I think he's going to do well. I think Brailsford is probably one of the best centers in the country, so I'm hopeful that he can handle his own there. And they say he has real aggressive hands, and so hopefully he'll do his job, and the other guys will step in. Whoever's playing at right guard this week, maybe it's Dewberry, maybe Vandermark. I don't know, but
Yeah, both of
I
those
think.
guys are going to be playing at guard just to.
Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to five times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Both
Confirm
of them,
that.
yeah.
Yeah, I
I
think
just think we're
Roberts
gonna,
is out.
yeah, Roberts is out this for at least a while, I guess. But yeah, I don't know, John, but I guess we need to be worried about every opponent. Like DeBoer said Monday, the most important game is this one because it's the next one. But I'm not super concerned about Florida State's roster. Sorry.
I am concerned because I want DeBoer to go down there and win a big road game. This is a big road game. Even though Florida State's probably going to be 6-6, 7-5, 5-7, 8-4 would be great for them. I think 8-4 is kind of the max ceiling that they have. I'm going to throw three quarterback names out here when we talk about Castellanos: Diego Pavia, Jackson Arnold, and Jalen Milroe. We had trouble with dual threat quarterbacks last year, so that's got me concerned. Hope we've learned our lessons. Hope we understand. And this is great preparation for having to face Jackson Arnold and having to face Diego Pavia. And the reason I throw Milroe out there is I think Castellanos has that upside. He can run. He is a dual threat quarterback, but he can also make big boneheaded plays too. And that's why I threw Milroe in there. So we saw good Milroe and we saw bad Milroe. So I think that's what you can get with Castellanos is you could get some big explosive plays, and you could get some plays that the defense can take advantage of and really put him in a hole. So he could play him in this game if he doesn't turn the ball over, doesn't throw picks, but he could also fumble it. He could also do exactly what Milroe did against Michigan in the rain and hand us some gimmies. So I'm going to be fascinated. And then are we more disciplined? Do guys maintain their leverage? Are they able to do their job and not get their eyes in the backfield too much and do their job? So I'm going to be really fascinated by that. And then on the defensive line, with Keenan out, next man up, we got to do it. So and then Gus Malzahn scares me. I really give him credit as an OC particularly. I think as a head coach, if he was the head coach versus the OC, I would be less worried about him because he'd be more distracted. But I think he's a heck of an OC So I hope that we've learned our lesson last year from those issues. So all right, G Money, any further comments, thoughts about that?
I would add on to, I'm also concerned about Gus Malzahn. I mean, when you think of tempo attacks, it's hard for him not to be on the short list in the conversation of guys who've really led that top tier tempo attack kind of offensive style. I think Castellanos is dangerous. I know his stats. I mean, I don't know that much about Boston College's, offensive scheme or personnel on, I'll tell you what, he's got wideouts now. I mean, if you look at tandems, I mean, first of all, if your wideouts are named Deuce and Squirrel, I mean, you're going to be dangerous anyway.
That's
But
right.
I mean, if you look at tandems, though, you've got Auburn, you've got us, obviously, you've got Ohio State. They're up there. I mean, these are two legitimate wide receivers. And when you combine that tempo, scheme, you've got a mobile quarterback and two big targets. I think that's a recipe for some points. We'll see.
Dr. T, further thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think you guys are right. I think Gus, we've seen what he can do to us and to other teams when he's focused. And I think he'll be focused, especially this first game. I just think trying to gel this much transfer portal, players and trying to have them ready for a defense that's really going to be stout. I think our defense is going to be really good, even game one compared to last year. And I think where we're strongest is what's going to help us. It's going to be the backfield. I mean, all the defensive backfield, that's where our strength is. And I think that's going to play well into our hand for these, like G Money said, Deuce and Squirrel. I mean, I think Deuce and Squirrel might have a new nickname after this game, but I think we're going to do fine. But I mean, I do think you're right. On the road, first game, they're going to have some points for sure. But I just think, last year, Boston College, the best defense they've, I'm sorry. Boston College is where he came from. Sorry. But the best team, no, that's what I meant. Yeah, the best team Boston College played as far as defensively was Missouri. And I just don't think he's seen defenses like this or speed like this. And I just think the game's going to be really fast and for him. And I don't expect him to play really, really well this first game. I think maybe by week six, he'll be in the system and understand it better. But I think we're going to catch him in a good time.
I would say he's seen more defenses than Ty has in
That's
game.
That's a good point. That's true. That's a good point.
That's true.
Yeah.
He is more of a known commodity, which could be a good thing and a bad thing. And does he take a step up? And does Gus Malzahn coach him up? His previous coach, Bill O'Brien, got rid of him. He ran him out, but he doesn't. Let's face it, Bill O'Brien would rather have a Tom Brady quarterback who can throw the ball and Tommy Castellanos, unless he's gotten a lot more accurate, he is not a true pocket quarterback. He is not a true passing quarterback and a distributor. He's more, like I said, along the Milroe line. I think his upside's being Diego Pavia, because we have to admit Diego Pavia was very accurate passing the ball, very shifty. We struggle with him. Jackson Arnold didn't have to pass the ball that much. That was just a. We didn't force him to have to beat us with the passing the way our defense was. So let's hope the defense, which did get better last year over the course of the season, but that Oklahoma game was a bad game for everybody, that we're ready. We're able to jump in there and deal with his legs and force him to beat us through the pass. And that, that our corners are ready to guard those guys, because they do. They have a couple of legitimate wide receivers. But I think his ability to throw the ball in tight windows is probably not there, so we don't have to worry about that. But if a guy gets behind the defense, I think he can put him in position to make some big plays. So
So,
we will.
John, G Money, have y'all seen this quarterback play at all? Have you seen him play?
I have
I haven't
not.
like sat down and watched. I did not watch
Yeah.
a Boston College game last year.
Me either. I just wondered, is he more like a Milroe where he can just his main objective is to run and he can throw, or is he really more of a quarterback who can run? Do you
I
know?
think he's. I think he, I don't think he runs like Milroe. I
Okay.
mean, name another that
Well,
does.
yeah.
But I think Pavia is a good. I mean, I've seen clips. I think Pavia is a really solid analogy for him.
Gotcha. Okay.
And and if you catch lightning in a bottle, we know what can happen against a
Oh, yeah.
bottle.
I think he's a little bit faster than Pavia. He doesn't have Milroe speed, but he probably is a 4.5, 4.45 speed guy. So he's fast. So we'll have to deal with that. But his passing accuracy, his decision making as well, what I read about, I didn't watch any film, but what I read about him is that's why Bill O'Brien ran him out.
Right.
And but Bill O'Brien's got a certain scheme of offense he wants to run, and I think he fits Gus Malzahn's scheme very well. So has me worried, but I still think, and we'll talk about the factors later, I still think we're in good shape. So couple of points I want to pop up here on the screen as we go through this preview is that Florida State, as we've talked about, reloaded through the portal. That's what they had to do. Their recruiting was not up to snuff, so they had to rebuild through the portal. They brought in older, experienced guys, so they have an experienced roster. But from a recruiting standpoint, we've out-recruited them the last 3 years, done a great job of retaining our players. They had to go buy players and run off players because what they would have brought back otherwise would have put them at the very bottom of the ACC. New OC and Gus Malzahn, new defensive coordinator Tony White, who came over from Nebraska. And Nebraska had a legitimate defense last year. So he's a legitimate defensive coordinator. Now, does he have the tools? Does he have the players to make their defense something that can really shut us down and hurt us like Oklahoma did? I'm not sure their talent levels at that level, but I think they're at least middle of the pack SEC level talent. And their O-lines and defensive lines are talented but not proven, and I don't think they have the depth. One injury of note is defensive tackle Kevin Wynn is out and likely not to play. So just a couple other points I wanted to make. Give me your reactions. Let's go G Money. Reactions, thoughts on all of that.
Yeah, so I want to make a comment about the new defensive coordinator, Tony White. You know, he came over from Nebraska, and he runs a very kind of sophisticated 3-3-5 defense. You know, a lot of disguises, a lot of confusion, a lot of hybrids. They rely on cover two a lot. And I'll just say this: it doesn't real that system doesn't necessarily gel well with a bunch of transfers who are trying to jam in the playbook over the summer. And so I think it's going to be interesting. I think it could be because of the nature of that 3-3-5. I think that, you know, our coaches will have time ready, but that can really confuse I don't want to say young, but somewhat inexperienced quarterback like Ty. But on the other hand, their DBs and linebackers can easily get confused themselves, which might, you know, give Ty some openings that he otherwise wouldn't, that they won't give later in the season. The fact that this is the opening game, when you, and we saw that with Saban his first couple of years, you know, his new system was, it took guys a long time to kind of learn that. I mean, we did great in 2008, but those first few games, you had people confused. And so I'm kind of relying on them making some mistake and the scheme just sort of game time, overwhelming them, and them going kind of back to their old, some of these transfer players going back to their old system sometimes and other and assignments and getting confused at some point in this game.
Dr. T, thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, those are great points, G Money. I didn't know that about that defensive coordinator, but yeah, if he's running an elaborate scheme like Saban ran, I know many players have said it takes a long time to understand a complicated scheme. And so yeah, if that's true, plus new players, man. And then on the offensive side, they have some transfer portal players for the offensive line and receivers. I just think there's a lot there ha a lot has to happen in this offseason and this fall camp for them to be ready to take on a team that is pretty stable and pretty talented like us.
So one other thing is we're really going to be relying on Ty to be able to read the defenses, audible us out. Maybe we have two plays called when we come to the line. That line needs to move these guys back. And if we can force them to have to put seven, eight guys in the box, then that really opens up for those receivers. Now, if it's raining and you're worried about throwing the ball, that could play into it, but that's going to be fun to see is if they're running that 3-3 hybrid and you get 6 men in the box, we got to run the ball, run the dang ball, bulldoze them. Let's find out what our line's made of. I was, and this is really in preparation for tomorrow night, but I saw That like Texas, when they lost to Ohio State in the fourth quarter, it was 21-14. They had the ball first and goal on the 1 yard line, ran the ball, got nothing. Second down, they did a went out a shotgun to do that stupid pitch play, took a 7 yard loss, and then next thing you know, Ohio State's going the other way for the winning touchdown, game over, ball game. We need to line up under center and get those 1 and 2 yards. And if they're running just six guys in the box, we just got to bulldoze them. The Daniel Hill, get under center, get that push. And there was something that in the red zone, if you line up under center and you're in the red zone, you score like 70% of the time. And out of shotgun, you only score 50% of the time. There was a study done out there. And so we can't go just shotgun in the red zone. We need to be able to just run the dang ball. And that opens up a lot when you have to bring guys up because we've just got so many weapons. And if Ty can recognize it, and if he can have good ball security and distribute it, and we can run the ball, it's going to be fun to see. So I'm excited about that. All right, G Money, any further thoughts on those topics?
I think a lot of that's going to depend on our guard play with Duberry and Vandermark. I think Caden Proctor is going to have a massive year. Several of those guys are, they're doing a job interview.
Yes.
And Wilkin made progress. I mean, look, he made progress last year. He's got the frame. He's got the strength, I guess, to kind of anchor down that right tackle. And I agree with Dr. T. I think Parker Brailsfield is going to have a really good year. So I think guard play is going to be key to our running game, and we'll see how that kind of pans out.
Dr. T.
Yeah, I mean, y'all can't. I don't think I can say it any better than you have already said. But I just think, our offensive line is going to be good, not great yet. And I think Ty Simpson's going to really have a good year. And I think this first game, I know he's not going to be Mac Jones right out of the gate, but I think we're underestimating him a little bit. And what I mean is, and also our new OC, who really, I think, can.
Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to five times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Put quarterbacks in good positions and in a good position most times. And Ty, I know I mentioned it before, but Ty said about 3 weeks ago, he said this offense is really designed to have, well, I mean, I guess all offenses are designed to have somebody open, but he said almost every time there's somebody open, I just have to find the open guy. It's not very complicated. That could have been taken as cocky. It wasn't. And I just think he meant it humbly, like, hey, my job's pretty easy. I find the open guy, and if it's not there, I can take off. And anyway, I'm kind of rambling, but I just like where our offense is right now. And I think we're all going to be very pleased. I think we're going to be cleaner than last year. And Milroe, from memory, he oftentimes would have a great play, as y'all know, but shortly before that was always a bad play. So I think we kind of took two steps back with him sometimes and maybe four steps forward, but I think this is going to be different. I think we're going to be more of a kind of a smooth machine that's kind of moving down the field, very methodical, staying ahead of the chains, and none of this silly stuff that Milroe would do sometimes. But
If I can jump in, so I would say I think that's right, Dr. T, but our offensive line has to do better in pass pro than they did last year. I think it's that simple. I think they will, but they have to. Milrow, of course, made some boneheaded plays and some needless turnovers and all that, but also he had pressure that he should not have been facing, especially on one side. And that got a little bit better as we're going down the home stretch, but we're gonna have to perform better on as an O-line this year and give Ty a little more time.
I agree, G Money, and I think Milrow probably his strongest suit wasn't, pre-snap reads. And I think I'm hopeful that Ty can, as he goes to the line of scrimmage, he can put us in a protection that's going to benefit him and the offense. I think Milrow, even though what little bit I've seen of the Seahawks, they give him one route, and if it's not there, he just runs. So I'm just hopeful that Ty can make some decisions before the snap, even that makes the protection better for him. We'll see.
Hey, I heard Urban Meyer today talking about the Ohio State Texas game. And what he said is, you got two new quarterbacks coming in there, Julian Sayin and Arch Manning. And he said both of those guys don't need to go out there thinking they need to win the game. They need to think on every series, I want to get two first downs. And they need to think on every series, it needs to end with a kick, which means either end with a punt, with a field goal, or an extra point. But don't take negative plays. Throw the ball away, get two first downs, and you can work yourself into great field position. If you get two first downs on that first drive and then punt, then they're backed up. And then if they get only one first down, then you're winning the field position game, and you come out and get two more first downs, maybe you're in field goal range. And I love that. I'd never heard any coach say that right out loud. And I think Ty Simpson will dirt the ball. I don't know if you guys have heard Arch Manning talk about his granddad always ends the call with him. And I think he texts him and talks to him almost every day. He says, slide or get out of bounds. And he's talking to him. And I mean, let's face it, Archie got killed in New Orleans. I remember watching Archie play when I was a little guy in the 70s. And he was great, but he got killed. It was really sad to see a guy that really could have been an NFL Super Bowl quarterback, but just landed where he did. And he was phenomenal. And so I think if Ty can do those things, ball security, throw the ball away, don't try to extend plays too much. Use your athleticism, because we know Simpson's athletic. He can extend plays, but sometimes just the best thing you do, throw the ball away. Don't get into negative taking a 15-yard sack and put us in behind the chains, and punt the ball. And I hope he's got the maturity to do that. He is a coach's son. I'm excited. I think it's going to be really fun to see if Ty can execute like that. But I loved what Urban Meyer had to say about that, and had not heard that. And surely Ty's going to know that. And I think Grubb and DeBoer coaching it up like that, I can't imagine that they're not.
John, I must say, Urban must have gotten that from Saban. I've heard Nick say that a lot.
Okay.
And I can say this. Can you find out some intel for us tomorrow night on your interview with the Fox affiliate analyst? How did Texas and Ohio State get stuck with the 11 o'clock game? That's if I
That's
was one of
crazy.
their fan bases, I would be like not happy.
I do know that Fox dictated that, because that's their big marquee game, is that big noon game, and they don't want to go up against the SEC at 2:30 and later. And granted, they could have moved it to a night game, but Fox said, no, we own the 11 o'clock Central, 12 noon Eastern time frame. And none of the other big games want to play then. Because think about it, our SEC, when Alabama plays Scrub U, we always kick off at 11. So that's their thing. That's their niche. So yeah, Fox dictated that game. Because would they want to go up against LSU and Clemson? And when is it? Miami and Notre Dame? And I mean, there's some other big games. So that is how that went down. Let you
If I
know
can make one
that.
more comment,
Oh,
just
yeah,
to
please.
piggyback on Dr. T, I agree. I'm very optimistic and growing more optimistic about Ty. John will recall I made a comment on a prior episode about him looking like a deer in the headlight in the interview. He was interviewed today and it was outstanding. He's got true humility, always deflecting the praise onto his teammates. And I will say this though, agreeing with Dr. T, I do think he's going to play smart, but I think we need more than a game manager. We don't have Derrick Henry. He's going to have to make some plays, and he's going to have to make some, plays when the pressure's on and we desperately need points. I think he'll do it. I think he's more likely to do it 5 games in, but hopefully we'll see some of those on Saturday.
And if it comes down to how well does Ty Simpson pass the ball versus Castellanos, my money is on Ty Simpson all day long. I think Ty's got a much better arm. He's much more accurate. He can make those short intermediate throws. I think he can throw the deep ball when needed if we get one of our guys behind the defense. If we can limit Castellanos to a passing quarterback, which is what we should have done to Jackson Arnold in that Oklahoma game. That was ridiculous in the second half. And actually, he was effective in the first half as well. I don't know what was going on with that defensive game plan. It was bad. But if we can limit him and force him to beat us with his arm and make him do what other teams did to Milroe, which is hit the short intermediate, hit the stuff down the middle, don't let guys get behind the defense, we're going to blow them out. So I'm hopeful on that. We shall see.
And if I may say also about Ty, he's not as fast as Milroe, who is, but he runs, I think, a 4.6, 4.7, which is still plenty fast. And the difference, though, I think, is that Milroe, he had a lot of success running in some games, and some games he didn't, because when someone knows you're running, it's easy to stop, even if you're 4.3. But I think Ty's going to benefit from a great offensive coordinator. He's going to benefit from great receivers. He's going to benefit from hopefully a better line. And then because he's a better true passer, I believe when he runs, he'll have wider lanes because of all those things I've mentioned. I think Milroe, a lot of teams, as you know, would stack the box and they're not worried about his passing potential. He's either going to be 58 yards or it's going to be nothing. And so I think with Ty, because he has so many options, they're going to be, being pulled at both ends, the defensive backs and the linebackers. And so when he runs, I think he'll be a much more efficient runner.
I think that's right. And I wanted to say something getting back to Parker Brailsford, Jason Kelce, not Travis Kelce, not Taylor Swift, but Jason
Thank you.
Kelce. Jason Kelce is not the biggest guy, but boy, he can move the pile. Boy, he could hold up. And I think Parker Brailsford, a good comparison is to Jason Kelce as to how good he is. But we're going to find out because he's got a tall order sitting in front of him. But I'm optimistic, and it'll be interesting to see if they move that big load over one of the guards and see if he can overpower one of those guards. But I'm optimistic that Brailsford can do his best Jason Kelce impersonation, and we're going to move things. So, all
Hey,
right. Yes.
question, John. Tim Keenan is about 320. So the roster says, is that guy bigger, same size? Do you know?
340 to 350,
Wow.
6'7". Now,
Wow.
he may not have the leverage. He's so big that may be the thing that really helps. And that's what Kelce could do. He could get under people and just drive them. But yeah, it's going to be interesting. And I hope that guy gets tired out too, because it's 6'7" trying to bend down, and hopefully he's sucking wind. And I don't think they have the depth behind him, but it's going to
Well, and
be.
you don't have to go Kelce on us. I mean, you can look at Ryan Kelly. You can look at Barrett Jones. I mean, we've had Bradley Bozeman. I mean, we've had some dogs who are not huge linemen, and some many at center that are on Remington list. Some that won the Remington. I mean, he's in other words, he
Dickerson.
doesn't have to look outside the Bama fam for that.
Yeah, John, I can't believe you mentioned the word Taylor Swift in one of our podcasts. I can't get away from it.
It's their engagement. It's their engagement. It's all the news now.
I know.
Well, it just
I'm so
shows that
excited
we're
to see where this
hip.
marriage goes. Y'all just cannot wait.
That's
I'm so excited.
gonna let you pick out the flowers for the ceremony.
Sweet.
right, guys, I'm going to throw up on screen, and we've talked about this in previous episodes, but I'm going to throw up the issues of concern for me for the FSU game, and it's going to be a little bit of a repeat. So if you've seen this before, I just got to throw it up there again. Okay. Number one, Ty Simpson. I'm optimistic he's going to be great, but it's a quarterback because we have not seen him play in this type of environment on the road. So worried about it. Something I'm worried about. Is the offense fixed and more potent and more consistent than in 2024? The Ryan Grubb factor has me optimistic. The running game. Are we going to have a more potent running game this year?
Yes.
And I'm hopeful. Our O-line, specifically right tackle, do we have it? Is it fixed? Has Wilkin taken two steps and really jumped up? I think so. But we're going to find out on Saturday. This is something we were just bad at the red zone offense and short yardage offense last year. I think we're going to be much better this year. But again, I'm concerned. With Tim Keenan injured, defensive interior line depth, experience, do we have the loads in the middle to just stack things up and clog up the middle and collapse the pocket? Worried about that. I'm always worried about defense. Do your job. Assignment football, setting the edges. Again, concerned about it. And then special teams, kicking and punting, the penalties. Are we a much more, and this gets back to just being disciplined overall. Are we going to be a much less penalized, more disciplined, more sharp, crisp team? And then my final concern is DeBoer's inability to win road games in the SEC. I consider this a quasi-SEC game on the road, hostile environment. Florida State's not top of the SEC, but I think if they were in the SEC, they could compete for that number 8, 9, 10. They're certainly better than Kentucky or Mississippi State. Are they better than Vanderbilt? That would be an interesting game. I'd like to see Florida State play Vanderbilt. Could Florida State beat Vanderbilt? But again, DeBoer was bad on the road in the SEC, particularly against really good teams with really good defenses that boxed Milroe in. Look at what Brent Venables did. That was a master defensive scheme that he ran against Alabama, and we didn't adjust. So I'm worried about DeBoer on the road. All right, that's my worry list. You guys fire away.
John, let me rest your weary soul here. I mean, I want you to sleep tonight, okay? So let me give you something to think about. So we have a real OC this year. We can agree on that, correct?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We have a seasoned offensive coordinator. We didn't last year. We have a more experienced wide receiver core. They're better. The offensive line will be better. I mean, I know nothing's a guarantee, but I mean, come on. We have they're back. There's year two in the system. They have to be as good, if not better. We have the running backs will be better. I know Jam's not here yet, but as a core, we're better. I think a quarterback. I know it's yet to be seen, but I think he's an upgrade. So I think we're good. And I think the red zone you mentioned. It'll be much better because now you have a quarterback who can make the short to intermediate throws. Last year, that was Milroe's weakness. So once you shrink the field in the red zone, all he has are weaknesses left because he can't throw the bomb anymore. So now it's just, hey, can you read this defense and react quickly? And that's not his strength. So his weaknesses were magnified in the red zone, where I think Ty and the OC and everyone else involved. That won't happen. I mean, it'll be tough because it's the red zone, but it'll be much better than last year. That's just a few things, G Money. What do you have?
I agree. Now, coaching, Grubb's an upgrade. I mean, we could sugarcoat it and be nice, but I mean, he's an upgrade, right? But would you take him over Gus? Gus, it's not just Gus. He's bringing his wide receiver coach, Tim Harris, from UCF. I mean, so I agree. I think we're good. The special teams really concerns me, but it doesn't concern me in this game. And what I mean by that is, I think we'll get ahead by two or three touchdowns by late in the game. And we're not going to need last second heroics. We're not going to need a 65-yard punt to flip the field position. I think we're going to just win this game. Now, you look out a few weeks and you start looking at Athens. Now I'm nervous. I mean, we got new faces, unproven, and we're talking about experience playing in an SEC speed, an SEC game, and the pressure attendant to that. That's a whole, as we know, a whole different ball game. That's a big question mark, and I think it's a question mark that's gonna be dispositive in a game or two this season. I mean, I think we will have some games. We need a field goal, in the last 45 seconds or minute and a half to win the game. And I don't have a high confidence we're going to do that. Now, I agree we're going to upgrade our running back core, 100% agree. Our O-line, I expect better things from them. So, Rick, I don't disagree really with anything you said. I'm just kind of giving some more color to it. But, we have the potential to be a very good team this year, and it's all going to start with our offensive line, in my opinion. Our DBs are elite. We've got some, we're gonna we've got some lockdown guys on in the backfield, and so to me, it comes down to our offense.
And I think the interior defensive line, we've got to be stout there. We've got to be able to shut down a running game and not have what Oklahoma did, which is just hold it. And Tennessee, too, really effectively ran the ball against us in the second half. So I'm hopeful those guys are going to step up. And Rick, as you said about the red zone, Isaiah Horton and Daniel Hill, those factors, we didn't have those factors last year. I hope Daniel Hill proves that I'm right to be so optimistic about it because you guys know. And I love Isaiah Horton too. I love what he brings to the table. And hopefully, you got some things schemed up and can really do that. So, all
And
right.
how nice is it? You're talking about the middle and defense. Not on the line, but how nice is it? What a luxury and a privilege it is to have a healthy Deontay Lawson ready. I mean, it's easy to forget how good that guy is when he's 100%,
Right.
and he should have a really big year.
I did hear, and Gary, you might have been the one to tell me this. I did hear he is a step slower from his injury, but what I heard in practice is that he knows the defense so well that you almost don't even notice it because he just anticipates so well. The other thing is, like you said, John, the kicker, that's a worry. I do agree with Gary. I think I like where we are on the schedule. I'm glad we're not playing Georgia week one. I think having Florida State, Louisiana Monroe, Wisconsin, and a bye week gives us 4 weeks for those guys to just practice and get even better. So hopefully when they go to Georgia, I think we will need a kicker there. And hopefully these first 4 weeks will be helpful to get some more reps in.
And hopefully they get to kick a lot of extra points on Saturday, so they get a lot of practice kicking those extra points and at least get that right. And hopefully the punter doesn't have to come in much and do anything. So that would be my optimistic take. All right, guys, I'm going to bring up factors to consider as we do our predictions. I'm going to run through these factors, and then you guys can follow behind me. So I'm going to flash this up on the screen. These are my factors when I consider who's going to win the game. Here they go. There's a bunch, and I'm going to note that who I think wins or where it's even. So there's the recruiting, the past 3 years, and retention of talent. That's point number one. Bama, check mark for Bama. We win that one. Portal recruiting, I give that to FSU. We didn't need to go in the portal and get much. We did well with what we got, but we didn't have to recruit 40 new players. So they win that point. Quarterback, I left it as even. Running back, I left it as even because our quarterbacks aren't proven. So I need to see it on the field. So I'm just trying to be as objective on each of these as I can. I left that as even. Running backs, I left as even. Because we didn't have great running backs last year. I want them to prove it. Wide receiver, tight end, Bama. O-line, Bama. I'm giving our O-line Bama because we've had these guys. We're junior, senior laden on the offensive line. We recruited these guys. They had to go out and find O-line for hire. D-line, I left that as even. And particularly with Tim Keenan out, it was a downgrade. Linebackers, Bama. Secondary, Bama. Special teams, I gave to FSU for sure. Depth, Bama. I put the OC as even. I think Gus Malzahn and Ron Grubb are both really high-level OCs. I left that as even. I hope we come out of the game and go, God, Ryan Grubb is the man, and Gus Malzahn's lost the step. I'm hoping that's how it comes out. On the defensive coordinator side, I gave the edge to Bama, but you could argue maybe it's even. Head coaching, I think DeBoer wins consistently. Norvell's been up and down. So when I looked at all these factors that I considered on my prediction, I gave 8 to Bama, 2 for FSU, 4 were even. My prediction, Bama wins by 10. That's my prediction. You guys chop it up. Go for it. G Money, you want to go first?
Yeah, I mean, I largely agree with your list. I think Grubb's a very talented OC. I would give them a slight edge. I really would. I think Gus Malzahn's he's just, like I said, he's on a short list of among the best in the country. That would be a slight. I would say I might give them a slight edge on D-line as well with Keenan out. Darryl Jackson, you mentioned he's on national preseason lists. He's preseason all ACC, which of course we know is not saying too much in that conference, but I might. And the one thing I didn't understand is the portal recruiting versus just recruiting overall. I wouldn't necessarily say that portal recruiting, in other words, how about just personnel? Like I would recharacterize portal recruiting to just recruiting and who's got the better players. And I would flip that one. I might flip OC and D line to FSU, but I would flip recruiting because to me, that's a proxy for who has the better players stem to stern. I would put Bama on that. And like you said earlier, John, we haven't been great at portal because we haven't needed to.
Right. I think we've got the right recipe for portal versus recruiting. And until someone proves me otherwise, I don't think there's going to be a national championship team. Like Texas Tech went out and bought players. They're not winning the national championship. They may have a good season. They might sneak in the playoffs, and that'll be a testament to how weak the Big 12 is. But I don't think you can just go into the portal, bring in 40 guys and win a natty. I think if you bring in that kind of talent, you got to retain them for 2 to 3 years if you want to do that. Versus we've recruited great year in and year out. We've retained most of our talent and then supplemented with the portal. To me, that's the recipe until somebody proves they can do it. In basketball, you can do it. Basketball, guy, you can go find 3 good portal guys and you're going to win it. Look at Florida, look at UConn, look at Baylor. That can happen. I think college football, it's just too hard to do that. So that was my point. But I think depth overall, and that's kind of why I threw depth in there, is to me, depth is a reflection of how much talent you have on the overall roster, not just did you do well in the portal or did you do well recruiting. To me, that's what, but I agree with you, Gary. We have more talent than they do.
Well, and I
Dr.
agree with your
T.
pick, but I'm going to give you an actual number. I think Georgia
Okay.
wins on Saturday, Bama 41, FSU 31. I think they're going to score some.
Okay.
I don't like that score, G Money. I don't like that at all, but it's okay. We all have our own
You like the
opinion.
41 part.
I like the 40. Yeah, when you started with 40, I liked it. So my thought on that is, without going through each point you made, John, I think players, yeah, player personnel, I think we have a large advantage there. I think just offensively, we have an advantage over their team. Defensively, we have an advantage. I think head coaching to OCs and DCs, maybe it's a wash. Maybe I give us a slight edge there. But I think if we have even same level of coaching, but much better players, I just think we're going to overwhelm them. I think the first half is 24 to 10. And I think by the end of the game, we overwhelm them with depth. And I think it's 45 to 17.
I hope so. I'd love to see it. That would be fun. My wife would love it too, because she can't stand these close games. She starts cleaning and cooking stuff in the kitchen, and she's a nervous Nelly when it's a tight game. Matter of fact, she didn't even watch the pass from Milroe against Auburn. She just heard me screaming that he caught it, he caught it. And so she would love that. I just want to win. I don't care if we win by one or we win by 40. We got to come away with the win. That's the big thing for me. I want to show that we are a dominant team and that we are a national champ, and then we can win a big game on the road, however we do it. But I'll take a win by one. But I think I'm with Gary by 10. I don't know that, depending on the weather, I think that may hold the scoring down a little bit. So I think it depends on how bad the weather is and how that impacts things. All right, guys, any other parting shots before we wrap this one up?
I have one. It's a very specific one, but I think no one's really talking about Ryan Williams anymore, which is good. But y'all, he had a breakout season as a 17-year-old with a really less than average quarterback, and a brand new OC. I just think y'all, he is about to have a breakout game and season here. I think he's going to go off, and I think we will see. It's just a new level from him, and based on what I think this offensive line can do and what Ryan Grubbs can do. And I like it because no one's really talking about him, which, and I just think, I mean, not that they don't know about him, they know about him, but I'm just thinking, we haven't seen the level he can play. We consistently, I mean, we saw a Georgia game. That's crazy. But I think we're going to see a lot more consistent ball from him. That's going to be quite spectacular. I can't wait.
And he said in an interview today, he said, "I'm a lot stronger than I was last year."
Did he
I love
really?
it.
Yeah. Let's go. Let's go.
And if they can draw up a few plays early and get him the ball, what that does is if they have to double him to take him away, that makes it easier to run. That makes it easier for Jeremy. That makes it easier for the tight ends. That makes it easier for Isaiah Horton. That just opens up the whole thing. And very, very hopeful that they have to double him, that everybody has to double him, and they're trying to take him away because that just opens up the whole playbook. And if Ryan doesn't have a great season, it's because teams are keying on him, not because he's not talented. And you're right, we didn't talk about him at all up until you brought him up, Rick. But I think teams are game planning for him, and they don't want to let that guy beat him. And Ty needs to be a, when he's single covered, because I remember seeing him single covered. I'm like, why are they not calling a go route and just sending them deep? Or why are they not running a post or just running a quick hitter when he was wide, have him just do a quick slant in, throw him the ball, and just let him do something? And they never did that. And I didn't
Right.
understand it.
Well, y'all, last year, if you go back, because I mean, we all have kind of poor memory. Maybe mine's worse than y'all's, but like, think about this, y'all. Twice I saw him last year make a video game play that I've never seen a receiver do, where he made two defensive backs run into each other. That happened in two games. I've never seen that. That's crazy. So that was, again, we have a very small sample size because we just couldn't find him. On short routes, intermediate routes, it was mostly long passes. So I think Ryan Grubbs is probably licking his chops with these receivers, and I think as a collective unit, they're much deeper and better than Washington was, and they look great. The Washington core looked great. I think this receiving core is going to blow the lid off.
We haven't talked tight ends either. I think Caleb Edwards may surprise and get some playing time. Quavis, I think, can be effective. Really interested to see what they do either with the two tight ends set, or just when all those weapons are covered up. And the tight, you can't cover everybody. And if our running backs can catch the ball and the tight ends are effective, it's going to be hard to stop this offense. So I'm optimistic that it could be video game numbers if things really go well. We'll see. I'm excited, guys. I'm really fired up for college football.
Me too. And hopefully Friday night we started off with a loss at Baylor for Auburn. That
That
would be nice.
Well, all right, guys. Last parting shots. G Money thoughts, parting shots.
Just can't wait. I mean, I can't wait for Saturday, and I think we're going to take it to them and bring home the dub.
Love it. All right, Dr. T.
It's finally here, guys. We've waited. This is like one of the few sports that you have to wait like 7 months to play again, it seems like. So it's finally here. I'm very excited. Cannot wait to see what this team can do. And I'm hopeful that Saturday morning, I start off by acing you guys, boom, boom, on the tennis courts, and then go settle in for some football, baby.
Well, I hate to disappoint you, Rick. I'll be on the pickleball courts. I have out-of-town company coming in, so I'll drag him to the pickleball. I know, I know. Sorry. Got
And I won't be there
got.
either. I'm going to be up in the mountains at my father-in-law's watching the game. So,
Oh,
all right.
nice. All right. Very nice.
Well, I need some instant reaction, so maybe take computers, take ability, because I want to jump on and do an instant reaction after the big win. So whoever's available, be prepared. All right, Dr. T, parting shots. Anything else?
That's it. I just think Saturday night when we get back on here, hopefully we all can get back on together. You guys are going to be like 45-17. How did you know? How did you know?
All right.
Love
I
it.
love it. Well, guys, thanks for joining me on this. And to all you who are listening, thank you for listening. God bless and roll tide.
Roll Tide.